Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The phone lines are open for you. We want to get your reaction to our big news of the day, and that is our interview with the agent for Trent Williams, Vince Taylor. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. We normally give you a Beltway Blitz every day at noon. Here is your Beltway Blitz. The Redskins yesterday signed Cody Latimer. That was the big Redskins story of the Wednesday that was. Cody Latimer last season with the Giants had his best game against the Redskins. 5 catches, 44 yards, and a touchdown in week 16. He caught 24 balls in 2019. He's got 70 catches in 6 NFL seasons. Talk to someone with the team that says we love his size and his speed. He's got the physical tools. Coming out of Indiana, I think a lot was expected of him. It hadn't quite translated at this point. But I don't think he's a lock to make the team. My guess is you've got right now Terry McLaurin and Kelvin Harmon to go along with Steven Sims, maybe Trey Quinn. And then you got a competition between guys like Cam Sims and Cody Latimer to make the roster. I still wouldn't rule out the Redskins going and getting a wideout in the draft, by the way, Danny.
Deep class, yeah. You feel like that's on the table, especially if they're able to acquire, I don't know, a pick for some asset that they have, which is kind of at the center of our conversation today.
I think if you're going to take a wideout, you probably try to find the value from the deep class you refer to somewhere around round 5 or 6. I don't know that they have the luxury of spending a pick a lot earlier than that. Not that I'm a big draft for need guy, but I just think they have too many things they've got to accomplish. And while the receiver position's not great, it's better than some of the spots on the roster, like tight end and now cornerback. But, man, I wouldn't want to be Dwayne Haskins going into this season with a new offense,
right?
No tight end, only really Terry McLaurin who scares anybody at wide receiver, and no left tackle. They haven't really helped him all that much to this point.
100%. And, you're still without the left tackle. As, again, according to what Vincent Taylor said, you don't that relationship is over, so that's not an option.
He made it very clear Trent Williams is not playing for the Redskins again.
So all the things that you would say, how do we build a nest for a young quarterback? Explosive weapons, good offensive line. Both of those things are in flux in a major way.
As far as the Nats go, today was supposed to have been opening day. There's no baseball being played. The Capitals are not doing anything at this juncture, although NBC Sports Washington is still playing their games simulated style via video games, and the Wizards, like the Caps, are trying to stay in shape. I've seen a couple videos of players on treadmills trying to run and keep themselves in game shape, specifically for the Caps. I mean, the playoffs would start soon after they came back, so they got to figure out a way to not get fat and happy like the rest of us during this coronavirus pandemic. We're all going to gain the COVID-19-15. But that having been said, let's get back to the phones. 800-636-1067. The agent for Vince Taylor just on with us talking about Trent Williams. Your big takeaway, Danny, was what?
A lot of what's been reported, according to Vince Taylor, is false. And this is a lot. This isn't just one person who's been narrating this. It's Lock and Four. It's Breer. It's Rappaport. It's John Keim. It's anybody that's been in touch with anyone about this has said some things or has reported some things that he directly contradicted. Everything from contract, everything from demands, everything from, what was at issue, where the relationship was, et cetera. Pretty much he said everything that's out there isn't true, which, it's your call who you want to believe, but that was my big takeaway.
I think I would certainly put that on my list. Another thing I would say is, look, agents have a job to do, okay? So everything he said to me is not going to be gospel. It is the Trent Williams truth. I don't think it's a lie, but it might not be the down-the-middle, actual, factual, exactly what's going on. Like, he said this has never been about money at all. I don't believe that. That isn't to say that it was all about money ever. I think it started with a medical issue. I think there are hurt feelings here. I think there are a lot of other things in play. But the idea that Trent Williams doesn't want a new contract, I just don't believe. That having been said, when Vince Taylor said, and I take him at his word for this, that the rumor that Trent wants $20 million is false, it sounded like an outrageous number to me. I believe that that's false.
Okay.
I asked him point blank. If the Browns tried to make a trade for Trent Williams right now and they're willing to pay him $15 or $16 million a year, is that something you could work with? And he basically said, yeah, if we got to a point where we could actually negotiate with Cleveland, we could make something like that work. I thought that that was really interesting. Let's go to Ron in Sterling on Grant and Danny on line three. Ron, you are on the Fan. How are you?
Great, guys. Great show. Long-time listener. I just want to comment on the Trent Williams situation.
Sure.
Please.
You know, I'm just kind of confused. I am a cancer survivor. I am a long-time Redskins fan, and I love Trent Williams. But this thing with his agent talking about get your affairs in order, anybody that's been listening to the Redskins and follow the Redskins, I've never heard any of this information. I would think that just like with Alex Smith, we followed him from the time he broke his leg, that every operation to the infections and stuff like that. But this with Trent Williams has got me confused and baffled and just more makes me feel like it's time to let him go and hopefully somebody will take him. That's all I got to say. Great show, guys.
Appreciate you, buddy. And this, that's one of the things we asked Vince Taylor, GP, was we can all acknowledge it's in the best interest that he's not here anymore. That's been true for a year. We're now in year two of the best thing for everybody is that he's not here. And the debate now is what's the holdup? What's preventing that? From Vince Taylor's perspective, it's the Redskins not going in good faith. And I would wager that from the Redskins' perspective, it's the opposite is true. It's unreal demands or an inflated asking price or, you know, offers that don't match up to the third round compensatory pick the Redskins would probably get if they just held on to Trent Williams and let him hold out for another year.
I'm going back through a couple of the quotes I jotted down here, mm-hmm. and I have that one directly in front of me, the caller brings up. I do remember hearing that because originally when this was all about the medical, the first person I ever got any information from was a real good buddy of Trent's who lives in the area who I'd met at training camp through Trent Williams at one point. And he told me, dude, Trent Williams literally thought he was going to die at one point. And I talked about this on the air, if you remember.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's not there.
This exact line was used, as a matter of fact, at that time, that one of the doctors told him to get your affairs in order. I remember thinking that was strange because I just can't imagine it. And I don't know. I've never had cancer. I can't imagine a doctor walking in and saying that. But it is something that Trent Williams either remembers happening or feels like happened. It was a serious enough, grave enough situation for him that he felt like, A, his football career was over, and B, his life was in jeopardy. And this goes back to the beginning with the medical stuff where I was 1,000% with Trent Williams pretty much all of last season.
Same here.
You go back and pull the audio. I was Team Trent, pro player, anti-team every step of the way. I had no trust that Bruce Allen would handle this correctly. I cannot believe he didn't trade him with 2 years left on his contract. I thought it was outrageous and utterly preposterous. And the fact that they didn't trade him, in my opinion, still is malpractice. Now, the only issue I have with the current regime, because otherwise I think they've handled this very well, as I told Vince Taylor, the agent, when he was on the line with us, I'm not trading Trent Williams for a bag of peanuts. He ain't Quentin Dunbar. I'm not giving him up for a fourth-round pick. I'm not cutting him, as the agent suggested they do. He's too good a football player. And the team has all the leverage in the new CBA. He's got to show back up. He's not holding out a whole nother season. Mm-hmm. But Vince Taylor told us that for 45 days, Trent Williams tried to get a hold of the Redskins, reaching out to, by way of his agent, that staff, and didn't hear from anybody. Supposedly, Ron Rivera doesn't contact Williams for well over a month after being hired.
45 days was the number, yeah.
45 days, exactly. Can you imagine taking over a team and your highest-paid non-quarterback has been at odds with the organization for a year and is a potential integral building block for you, and for 45 days you wouldn't reach out, or if they did reach out, you would for some reason not respond? Or, according to Vince Taylor, basically just neglect the correspondence? I'd love to hear the Redskins' response to that, because if that's true, that too is malpractice. I mean, that's a
damning
mistake.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
The case, exactly. If that's the case, that's another, you know, that's a feather in the cap for the agent and that side. But it doesn't jive, again, with the February 11th report from Ian Rappaport, where they said the conversation was positive. Again, that's presumably coming from the Redskins side, but a positive conversation was had. And if you go back when you and I are talking about this, we're going, oh my God, here we go again. It's another round and round in circles, and you know, the demands don't quite match up, and everyone says nice things, but we don't get a resolution. And that's all we want, is this thing to be resolved in some way. That's very different than they didn't reach out, the relationship's done. During the relationship is done period, according to Vince Taylor, the Redskins and Trent Williams spoke, right? So, that again, that doesn't all add up. Both things can't be true, I guess, is where I'm going with that.
Let's go back to the phones. We want your reactions to what is going to be a lightning rod of an interview in town and around the country over the next couple of days, unequivocally. Let's go to Patrick in Fredericksburg on line two. Patrick, you're on Grant and Danny. Your thoughts on what the agent for Trent Williams, Vince Taylor, said to us was.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
I
think the only reasonable play that's left for the Redskins, and they've got a history of doing bad stuff with their players, but I think the only thing that they have that they can reasonably do now is hope to make a move on draft day, and then deal Trent Williams to one of these teams that wants to move up because they have a super valuable pick. And with that, you know, valuable, you know, number two overall pick, they're probably going to try and rope in the Chargers or the Dolphins or something like that and negotiate at that point, because that's the only thing I can think of where the Redskins can actually get potentially what they're asking for Trent Williams and move him along and be happy and actually, you know, do something positive. And that's all I got.
Thanks, Ben. I don't know when it gets resolved, Grant. I don't know, because this is a – I understand previously, again, this was a Bruce Allen, the Redskins' work fault. Now that we're here, this is a different set of circumstances. I understand that the value of the asset, a.k.a. Trent Williams, I know he's a human being, but just bear with me. Trent Williams, the player, is an asset for the Redskins, right? You cannot simply give away a valuable asset. They already did that with Quentin Dunbar. They lowered his value, let him tweet a couple awkward things, and shipped him to a place he's going to go thrive in Seattle for Bupkis. You can't do that with somebody that's this good, given the team's current needs. You also can't have him around. You're in an impasse. I don't know when and how this gets resolved, and draft day may be as good a time as any.
800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067 is how you can give us a shout if you want to weigh in on Trent Williams, what happens next, and what his agent just told us about his future with the Washington Redskins. Doesn't sound like there will be one, because Vince Taylor says we have reached the end of the road one way or the other. Here's my question next. If you are the Redskins, what do you do now? If Williams does not want to play for you, would you risk another year-long saga where you just say he can't hold out again, CBA makes it tougher, he's got to show up, and have a potential malcontent situation in your locker room? Or would you just say, you know what, we can't get what we want back, we lost, we'll chalk it up as an L on Bruce Allen's ledger, not our new front offices. Last year was the time to trade him anyway. We'll take whatever the best pick is we can get, a la Quentin Dunbar, and we will wash our hands of this, get him have a fresh start, we move on, and we pretend like nothing ever happened. Would you do that? Or would you dig your heels in here and still try to get the pick back for a really good player that you can probably net? Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan.
Bring the premium play. So Trent has more than validated the $95 million he's made.
$95 million, that's the figure Trent Williams has made from the Redskins. He no longer wants to be a Redskin, and that is the voice of his agent, Vince Taylor. That interview is must hear. It was probably one of the longest interviews we've done in our platform, because we're not a podcast, so we can't just do 30-40-minute interviews. But he was with us for almost 25 minutes on the show earlier today. You can listen to that interview via our rewind function on the radio.com app whenever you'd like. It was insightful, and it gives us, I think, some perspective from the player side of things that maybe we didn't have before. Just kind of adds a couple of ingredients to the stew that we're cooking up on, you know, what is an opinion now on Williams versus the Redskins. 800-636-1067. My mind has not changed in any way. I think of this very simply. If Trent Williams wants to be dealt, then the best way for that to happen is for Vince Taylor to continue to do what he's doing, which is try to drum up the market with other teams, get them to agree to part ways with some type of compensation and try to get a deal in place for Trent. I'm of the belief they've got to bring their demands down. What was crystallizing today is it sounds like, according to Vince Taylor, what we're hearing publicly and nationally, that it's going to take close to $20 million to get Trent Williams signed is not true. He made it sound like a more reasonable figure around that $16 million that I think is in play would potentially be enough for a team like the Cleveland Browns or somebody else to be able to pay that to Trent Williams. The question is, did they then turn around and give the Redskins a two? But as I said, when the agent was on the line with us, the team can't just give Trent Williams up for nothing because he's unhappy. That's just 100%. Not how it works. And I want this to be over for everyone, for Trent, for the team, for you and I, so we can all move on and go our separate ways. And the next time I want to talk about Trent Williams is if and when he's inducted into the Ring of Honor in 14 years, 10 years after his playing career ends. And he
once
comes
whatever
back to
this is softened. Yeah, I mean.
Right, exactly. To me, honestly, he was on his way to the Hall of Fame at one point. But Danny, you can't just trade him for a fifth. He's not Quentin Dunbar.
Yeah, that's the takeaway. Again, and we talk about how this has evolved, right? I mean, there were probably a couple guys, a couple hardliners for the most part, but in my general, I'd say 99% of Redskins fans, as this thing is proceeding, are going, we're on the side of Trent Williams here. The Redskins front office, a disaster led by one of the most reviled figures in Redskins history, Bruce Allen. Then you add in a training staff that was widely perceived to be incompetent. Whether that was fair or not, you've got more guys on the injured list than anybody else over a four-year period. You've got these constant these weird injuries that are supposed to be day-to-day that end up taking weeks and months. Anecdotally, it was a disaster. So that all fit. All the pieces fit for everyone to be like, you go Trent Williams. Yes, you stand up to these guys. They need to go get something for you. They botched it six ways from Sunday. I would argue, I don't think it's the same level. I don't think it's 99%. But I think everybody has now, after that, we had our outrage. We had our moment of ticked off. We said what we said about Bruce Allen. He's gone. Hess is gone. We've moved in a different direction. I think the majority of folks have kind of gone, wait a minute, not so fast here. Trent Williams, a lot of this now may be on you. And, you can make up your own mind once you hear from Vincent Taylor, and you can also make up your own mind when you see report after report after report after report that says the holdup is not the Redskins, the holdup is Trent Williams.
Well, and Vince Taylor said that the Redskins' ask is outrageous. He said that what they want back is excessive. He said teams have told him that. Actually, let's play that clip and react to it.
The Redskins, prior to the combine, put Trent on the trade market. They had him on maybe 10 days, and even through the combine, which is the biggest business platform for teams looking to wheel and deal. Upon leaving the combine, the Redskins had not gotten one offer that they could bring to Trent and I so that I could negotiate our side. I had teams call me, and I won't call them out. I had two teams call me that said, those guys do not know what they're doing. Their ask is outrageous. So upon that,
assuming their ask was a draft pick.
Yeah. or something.
There is nothing outrageous for Trent Williams, right? I mean, two ones, okay, that's preposterous. You're right, if that's the ask. I've heard basically they're holding out for a two, they want a one, kind of in that realm. That's not crazy. Now, they might not get it, but there's a difference between that being crazy and something you can't get. But assuming they're not out there saying, we need three number ones for Trent Williams for 1 year of his services. Now, that's crazy. That's a team that doesn't know what they're doing. That's preposterous. I think we can all agree to that. But let's not forget what Williams is. When he's on the field, doesn't matter if he's healthy or not, he's excellent. And if he's healthy, he might be the best left tackle in the game. He's never been a first-team All-Pro, but he could have been a couple of times on a different offense, on a different team. This is a seven-time Pro Bowler who, before the last two seasons, was on his way to Canton, potentially. He was that type of player. Uber-athletic, sent from a different planet, plays point guard and pickup basketball, dribbling between his legs and dunking, left tackle out in space, mauling people like a wide receiver with that kind of footwork. I mean, he is a unique specimen. You don't just give him up. Kevin's in Arlington on line one on Grant and Danny. What's up, Kevin? How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Got it, buddy.
The first thing I have to say is I don't know how much of what Taylor said is true or false. And maybe it's all true. My takeaway from what he had to say is this. It's very clear to me that when Ron Rivera and Dan Snyder talked about the job and before he was hired, probably two of the biggest issues were what to do with Bruce Allen, what to do with the training medical staff, what to do with Haskins, and what to do with Williams. And they have got to be aligned on the what to do with Williams. And it's pretty clear to me, based on what Taylor said, what I've heard, even Craig Hoffman reported, Rivera basically told Williams, go talk to your position coach first, then we'll talk. And they've taken a hard line, which is, you're one of 53. What you did in the past, it doesn't matter. So you can either pay for us at the contract you're under, you can bring us nowhere, we're satisfied with the compensation, or you can sit home and ultimately retire. They have taken a hard line, and obviously Dan and Ron have to be on the same page on this decision. So this isn't just Ron, this is Dan. And for what I don't know is how much of this is Dan also being hurt and telling Rivera, these are my conditions regarding dealing with this player. I think that's the story that I'd like to know. What is that? Maybe eventually it'll come out.
Appreciate the call, buddy. Look, I want to know Dan's involvement in this too, certainly. Yeah. Dan Snyder and Trent Williams have an excellent relationship. You heard Vince Taylor multiple times in the interview about how much Trent likes Dan Snyder. The reason he does have such a good relationship with Snyder is twofold. Number one, he's been paid $95 million by the Redskins. They drafted him in the top five. Dan loves the players, and specifically the good players. He wants to be their buddy. He wants them to come on his yacht. He wants them to come to dinner. And I would imagine a guy like Trent has some type of a relationship with Dan Snyder that someone like Quentin Dunbar or Danny Johnson or Nick Sundberg may not have, number one. Number two, Dan Snyder involved himself in the process when there was an impasse between Bruce Allen and Trent Williams, as I was told a year ago, and basically helped get Trent Williams sent to additional doctors and get checked up and really helped clear up the situation with Trent Williams' health. And I think forever Williams will be indebted to him for that. What I don't know, and what I think is a good point that was brought up by the caller there, is what does Dan Snyder think about trading him right now?
Mm-hmm.
Is he dead set on getting rid of him no matter what? Does he, like the front office and the new coaching staff, probably say, I don't really care about ending this just to end it. What happened a year ago has nothing to do with me. That's not my problem. Now, the fact that you guys paid out X amount of dollars in fines and he held you hostage and this was a public fiasco, that was not on my watch. I just got here and started in January, and this is now my first year doing this.
Right. I've only been doing this for a couple months.
Does Dan feel the same way? Yeah. I don't know.
It's a great question. I mean, and I think you touched on it. There are a lot of players that love Dan Snyder. You'll find the list. They were marquee players. They were stars. That's a Dan problem. He loves being buddies with stars because he's a fanboy with billions, right? So Clinton Portis thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So he walks around because, you know, he had the key to Dan Snyder's office, and they could go hang out whenever. He invited Robert Griffin III to Thanksgiving, and he's flying Trent Williams around on his plane and getting them referrals. Of course they like him and all the commas and the paychecks over the years. I think you touched on it very well. So that part of the relationship is interesting only because you'd think whatever happens now, Dan has to sign off on in some way. I think that's very well put by you in the sense that if you're really doing this, if you're really letting Ron Rivera handle everything without saying, well, you guys are in charge, but I like this quarterback. We're drafting Dwayne Haskins. Or you're totally in charge, but I'll step in on this Trent Williams situation. If there really is autonomy, you've got to say, you know, have at it, Hoss. You know, I'll sign whenever it's my time to sign.
I got an explanation on the timing from some people I reached out to with the football team on maybe why it might have taken so long for Trent Williams and the Redskins to initially chat. We can kind of go through the offseason calendar and see if it would make some sense. Next, we'll take your calls, 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. Remember, 12:45, we've got your G&D Movie Club at 1 o'clock today. First time ever on the show, Larry Michael. Not Danny's Larry Michaels, but Michael is with us to call play-by-play of himself doing a household task to continue our series of broadcasters broadcasting from home right here on G&D.
You are loved because he loves the fans. He loves the area.
If you missed Vince Taylor, the agent for Trent Williams on Grant and Danny early today, wow, you missed a lot. You got to go back and listen on radio.com, and there will be a story on thefandc.com with a link very soon, I'm sure, as well. But there were a lot of bombshells, a lot of nuggets in there, a lot of things that, you know, we thought we had pinned down that, according to the agent, may not be completely true. Among them, Trent Williams is not asking for $20 million. A few things I disagree with, and I made the point to so that I, you know, wasn't kind of saying one thing when Vince was on and saying something else when he left. I told him at the time, I think it is silly to expect the team to cut Trent Williams, which is what he's asking. That there's no way they would do that. And Vince is a smart guy. If he was a GM, he wouldn't do that either. I think to say that they should just trade him for whatever they're offered is also not a good plan. He's too good a football player. So if you can get past that and the idea that, okay, there's a frustration with Trent and his agent because they seem to be able to hold up their end of the deal, which is drum up a market, get teams to come to the table, start talking numbers with teams, and get us a club willing to trade. They did that. And you could tell time and time again, Vince kept saying, we did our part, and then the team wouldn't pull off the trade. Well, the team's got their own completely different side of this, which is they need compensation back that they deem worthwhile for Trent Williams, and there has been the rub.
And if the market is evolving, that could come off from the agent's side as, oh, these guys aren't sure what they want. But if you think, let's say for the sake of argument, Grant, I put my house up for sale today, and I go, I think it's worth $500,000. My first offer comes in at $575,000. I go, well, wait a minute. Maybe I need to change this. Maybe it's worth more than I thought. Because they just went through a process with Quentin Dunbar where we thought it was worth something. The league said, no, it's not, and things changed. The trademark in the NFL is complicated that way, right? Just because someone else made a mistake giving up a first rounder and then overpaying for another guy, or just because Bill O'Brien doesn't know what he's doing, doesn't mean that that's what the real tangible market is for reasonable folks to deal with, right? So I can understand the Redskins, if they get something back where – you know, Vince Taylor's going, I got you guys, for the sake of argument. I got you guys the Cleveland second, third-round pick. It's 26th overall in the third round. It's round pick number, you know, whatever that math would be, 100-something. The Redskins go, that's not that special. Maybe we can do better. Who knows how this thing went. But to accuse them of not working in good faith is a big deal, man. And that's what that statement said. Yeah.
So the other thing with the conversation as well with Trent's agent was when Vince came on, you know, we talked about, you know, not only the compensation and how this all started, but the medical part of this initially, and the distrust of Bruce Allen, and now those guys are gone. Well, why aren't we just letting bygones be bygones? Well, why haven't we moved on? Why don't we bury the hatchet here? He didn't like the training staff. He wasn't a Larry Hess fan. They've changed all that out. And Vince even said he knows the new training staff well from some of his clients in Charlotte. He thinks they're really good. He had a big issue with Bruce Allen. He's not there anymore. The last coaching staff is gone. You got Ron Rivera in here. But when they had a chance to kind of start over, Trent was bothered by the fact that it took the Redskins so long to reach out to him, to get in touch with him. So I just put some feelers out over at Redskins Park with some different folks and kind of said, hey, give me an idea as to how this all works when you're trying to go about your offseason and players need to be notified by the new coaching staff. And one of the things that was suggested, and I don't know if you buy this timeline or not, but remember that, so Ron Rivera gets hired, and he's got to now go, first of all, make the changes to the training staff and some of the old staff, but then put together the training staff that he did put together. By the time they hired all of their coaches, their staffers, their new medical staff was in place, and they finished all their evaluations on last year's Redskins players and all the behind-the-scenes situations that happened. It was that February 11th week, remember, right around Valentine's Day, where we kept saying,
yep,
this is the date that's been circled as like the start of their offseason. That was, if you do the math from the 45 days, that's about when it sounds like the Redskins talked with Trent Williams, where he and Rivera actually spoke for the first time.
Because December 31st, it becomes official. The press conference, I believe, was New Year's Day, right? Or maybe a
Thanksgiving
day later.
Yeah, well,
Dan Snyder called it Thanksgiving Day, of course. But, yeah, I mean, he's hired, and there's a lag time there.
Now,
right?
Personally, I'm not Ron Rivera or Kyle Smith or any of the other guys that run this team. If I took over the Redskins, I'd just put together a punch list. The first thing on that list would be, I need Dwayne Haskins in my office. I need to have a real conversation with him. The second thing I would probably do is meet with Trent Williams. And then I would go back to trying to finish the rest of my coaching staff. So I get why, if you're Trent, you're going, why hasn't anyone talked to me? I can't imagine the team was ignoring the phone calls of Williams or his agent. But this 45-day thing, which bothers me, when you actually do some of the math, from the team perspective, maybe it's as simple as they're going about their coaching staff. They're getting rid of their training staff. They're bringing in the new training staff. They're doing all their player evaluations. Okay, now it's time to start talking to the guys and bringing them in here. It's only February. I mean, they're not showing back up until May.
And
That's the other side of it. You could pick which side you buy.
Right. And Jeeves, and I think the point you make that's very salient is if this, the conversation that happened February 11th or thereabouts, again, according to the reports that we saw, sounds like it was only 10, 15 minutes. If this was going to be the knockdown, drag out, let's air all the grievances Festivus style and have a 6-hour meeting where we figured out what's best for everybody, I could see not having any contact for 45 days. The fact that there wasn't a text message, the fact that there wasn't a, hey, man, I can't wait to talk to you. We got a lot of logistical things that we have to do. There's a feeding frenzy right now in terms of hiring coaches, trainers, front office guys. You know, everybody's picking from the same pool. I got to hurry the hell up and get my guys hired and get their families moved up here. But I want to talk to you. If that never happened, I would say that's problematic. Because if the only conversation that was going to happen was 10, 15 minutes on the phone, we shouldn't be putting that off for 45 days.
Yeah, I need that to happen sooner. And it sounds like, you know, one of those things where I'm oftentimes I think we're more practical, or we don't really know how the inner workings of the NFL work. And we try to put ourselves in the situation of these coaches and executives, or our jobs in the mode of the NFL. And it is very, very different. And I always say, don't do that. Your office job is not the same as Jordan Reed catching touchdowns. Don't relate yourself to them. And maybe I'm doing that here and I shouldn't be. But I just know that when Phil Zachary, you know, our old boss who ran Intercom locally, took over as our new big director of all operations in D.C., he probably met with the junkies within the first couple of days. You know, his million-dollar breadwinner, 20-year institution of a show. Like, a few weeks later, he gets around to trying to figure out who the midday show is.
Yeah, if we could squeeze in the two Portleys in the middle of the day.
But seriously, I mean, a few months after that, he's probably, you know, shaking the hands of the people that are doing the shows first thing in the morning on the weekends or whatever.
Yeah.
But there are just certain people you got to prioritize. And for me, the day I took over that job, I would have, A, already had my mind made up I'm trading Trent Williams, but B, wanted to get him on the phone and say, help me help you. Let's play nice. I'm going to get you out of here. I'm going to get you to the best situation possible, but I need you and Vince on my side. We're not going to be banging heads here, buddy. You, me, Vince, together, let's get this thing done. Let's get this thing right. Let's get you out of here. Let's all start fresh. 800-636-1067, you want to hop in. The Grant and Danny Movie Club throughout the coronavirus pandemic, as we're doing shows from our homes. I'm in my basement. Danny's in his laundry room. The movie we watched last night was horrendous. I couldn't even get through it. We'll discuss it, and we'll pick another movie next right here on The Fan. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. What a show this has been. What a day on G&D. You know, our coronavirus shows have taken on, like, all kinds of polls and non-sports fun and a lot of wacky bits. And today was just kind of getting after it. The agent for Trent Williams, Vince Taylor, came on. And we've been doing real-life sports talk radio where we react to that and take your calls. Final hour of the show is going to be busy. At 1 o'clock in 12 minutes, Larry Michael, the voice of the Redskins, joins us. It is his first ever appearance on the show. And to say that Danny is nervous is an understatement. Oftentimes, you kind of have a game plan. I texted with him last night. He was happy to come on. I told him that you're a little bit uncomfortable and you don't know what's going to happen. He said it's going to be fine. What is your game plan right now?
Still don't have one. I've been kicking it around. I asked friends. I asked my wife.
I think you should just ask him, what do you think of me? Like, do you dislike me? I think that's a fair question.
It is, but we'd have to reference the time where we were at Redskins training camp, and he, you know, pulled me aside into his office. The instant we walked in to get our credentials, next thing you know, I'm having a 15-minute face-to-face. And he was very nice and very, you know, complimentary of us and the show and me and everything like that. But I don't know how to explain it, and I want everyone to understand that this is not a work. This is a real thing. I am uncomfortable. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, and I don't know what's going to happen. I am legitimately nervous about this. I didn't sleep very well last night. I have had a pit in my stomach all day. I forgot about it with the Vince Taylor content. We're having good sports talk radio, and then you did what you're supposed to do. You teased what's coming up at 1, and I got the bubble guts, dude. I'm Daniel Hudson, game 2 against the Dodgers right now, bases drunk in a battle with Kyle Seager.
Corey's going to be uncomfortable.
Which Seager is it, Corey or Kyle?
Which one? Corey plays for the Dodgers. Kyle plays for the Mariners.
There we go.
I like Kyle a little bit better at this point. I didn't think I would say that.
Crazy
Corey
thing,
was
right?
The super prospect. It was supposed to be a stud, and it hadn't quite worked out. But they're both decent. It's only going to be uncomfortable if you allow it to be uncomfortable. I think if you rub your temples and you kind of hum to yourself a little bit, everything's going to be just fine. I think Larry wants to play ball here.
Woosa.
He wants to come on. He wants to call himself at his house doing a household activity.
He's welcome to do that.
Just keep things light for the people. I think everyone's going to have a good time, but you want to listen in 10 minutes at 1 o'clock for his debut nonetheless.
You want to hear me squirm.
All right, I have nothing to say about the movie Bright. I hated it. I watched an hour of it. It's not for me. It involves warlocks and witches and orcs, whatever they are, and elves. I guess if I was going to make a commentary on this, I would say someone said, you know what we should do is we should mesh the movie Training Day with Lord of the Rings. That would be badass. And then this is what we got. This is the baby that those two movies basically had. Like, along the line somewhere, people liked like the grungy, yeah, LA-based cop movies, the kind of dirty, gritty cop movies, and they're like, but they need some guys with blue faces.
This needs fairies and orcs.
No, thank you.
Now,
so
a,
I'm out.
Yeah.
I got nothing else to say.
So as a fantasy fan of legitimately good fantasy, this movie stinks. This is the Fast and the Furious of fantasy movies. It's empty. It's canned food. They try to service everybody, make everyone happy, just throwing in all these different themes. It's muddled. It's cluttered. It doesn't make any sense. They want to give you this epic sense, and they just sort of refer to the Dark Lord. They refer to this other presence and this weird history. They want you to do what Game of Thrones, what Star Wars, what Lord of the Rings, actual excellent fantasy epics are, where you all we're getting for the course of this show or movie is a sliver of time in this shared history, and they create this huge dimension, right? They create this huge universe, and they build the world, and it all makes sense and is good. Here they just throw in Will Smith trying to hit a fairy with his broom. They sort of like veiled references to orcs and evil, and it's attempting to be, you know, a social commentary. It's trying to do a lot of things. It stinks. This is from the Brendan Dar terrible movie, but he likes it for some reason, School of Movies. This is a 2 out of 10 carbohydrates at best.
I'm giving it a half buffalo wing, a burnt to a crisp, dry, like, piece of buffalo wing skin out of 10 buffalo wings.
Great, it's a good cast. If you told me Will Smith, Joel Edgerton, Noomi Rapace, and a couple other actors and actresses that you've seen in stuff before in a gritty L.A. cop movie, I go, sign me up for that. I'll deal with that. But just it was just garbage. It's dreck. It's thrown together. This was one of those. I don't think these guys would have agreed to it if it wasn't like shot over 2 weeks and they made an outrageous amount of money because Netflix has, you know, stupid.com money at this point. Really, really bad flick.
You can't blame Dar because we all were involved in this. You didn't remember. You thought it was a different movie than it was.
It was a different movie.
I didn't know what it was other than Will Smith was in it. So we all had a hand in this. Just that Dar put it on the list, so he gets blamed more than anyone. Do you guys have anything to add before we pick today's movie?
Yeah.
No.
I have something to add. I think you guys are being way too harsh.
No, I don't.
That is the correct response from both of you.
I love that. I love
that dichotomy. Tom says, no, I don't. Let's move on and never think about this movie again. And Dar wants to talk about how great it is.
I'm not saying it's great. I'm just saying
I don't have anything to say about this.
Dar, was it as...
I have nothing to say about the movie.
Was it as good as you remember it being, Dar?
It's not bad. I feel like you guys
it's very
completely...
bad. It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I voted for it yesterday thinking that it was Glass. I thought that this was a movie
You
Glass.
Thought it was a different movie, too?
Yes.
Oh, we both dropped the ball here.
So, I love it when a plan comes together.
So I'm just going to move on, take the floor from Dar. Today is my list today.
Tommy's list.
And this list is what I like to call a Thom can't lose list. There's
Ooh,
many,
we love it.
Many reasons for it. It's a shorter list than usual, but I can guarantee that I enjoy all of these movies.
Nice.
And there's also two things that I am willing to watch together as a group if we decide to agree on it. So who would like to go first? Grant or
Danny? I think you pick. You pick the order.
Okay, so let's start with Danny, because I think he's going to be the most difficult one to get through here.
All right, here we go.
These are all on Netflix, so it'll be easy to just watch on Netflix with us as we go along. The first movie, Danny, is Rounders with Matt Damon and
Ed what a
Norton.
Pete, that's me and his money, yes.
Okay, so that's moving on. Don Verdeen, which is a movie that I just found out about very recently. It's Sam Rockwell and Danny McBride. It's from 2015. It's a comedy. It's got a great Rotten Tomatoes rating. I'd be willing to watch that with you guys.
I've never heard of it, but I'm intrigued by that, so yes.
Okay. The third is Tiger King, the doc series. It's not a movie, but But I think if we all work hard and work together, I think we can get through it in a pretty reasonable amount of time.
Get through? I don't think we could get through it tonight, though. I want to watch that because it sounds fascinating, but I don't know that we could do the whole
series.
Yeah,
I would say
tonight.
Let's assign that as show material that we need to bang through as soon as possible, but it might be hard to do that tomorrow.
Okay. So I'm going to say no to that one for logistics, Tommy.
Okay, the fourth is Marriage Story. We talked about that. It didn't make it through on a previous list when we broke it down.
I'll say yes.
Okay, Goodfellas.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
The Wicker Man, which is a movie that I saw last week and really enjoyed. I think you guys would like it.
It's a good flick. I'm going to say no because I haven't said no to anything yet, though.
Okay, and Step Brothers.
Yes. Okay. So I'm eliminated one.
That is great.
Okay, Dar, you're next.
Okay, perfect.
Rounders.
Yes.
Don Verdeen.
Yes.
Marriage Story.
No.
Goodfellas.
No.
Step Brothers.
Yes.
Grant.
Okay, I didn't want to say no to any of them, but just to make it easier, you got to grab the first person you can see. I'm going to say no to Step Brothers, so it's either Rounders or Don Verdeen, and okay. Whoever you see that you can pull into the studio is the decider.
All right, it's Brock, so we got to bring him in.
All right, Cookie Duck Dynasty has to make his way into the studio. By the way, I haven't seen Rounders in a long time, and I've never even heard of Don Verdeen, but that sounds like an awesome
I was intrigued by that, yeah.
Based on the rundown we got. Is Cookie there?
He is.
Cookie, Rounders or Don Verdeen, what will we be watching tonight?
You guys are going to watch Don Verdeen.
All right.
Boom never goes even, the dynamite.
Never knew what this was until 13 seconds ago.
I just learned it. We'll see.
Like what I said, it's a not lose for me.
All right. Thumb. I like where we're at more than we were yesterday because there's no blue Shrek running around with Will Smith making people angry. We're Grant and Danny. Next broadcasters broadcasting from home. Larry Michael keeps the series going. What will he be doing? Calling play-by-play of? You'll find out in a moment on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.